Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, you guys, we got to tell you about Brez Coffee Company.
Made by gamers for gamers right here on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida.
No matter what your tastes in coffee are, they got you covered. You like light or medium roast? Try the Necro Medium, Holy Grail Light, or Stamina Boost. I like the ICAST Fireball mixed flavor, which is a fireball whiskey flavor.
If you like dark roasts like I do, then try the Critical Dark or the Coup Slayer Mocha Roast.
Can't decide what you need for those all-night gaming sessions? Why don't you try one of their specialty sample packs?
All roasts are made with fair trade Colombian beans.
So stop buying that crappy coffee from the grocery store and head over to BrezCoffeeCo.com. That's BrezCoffeeCo.com and enter the code NCR at checkout for 10% off your order. Amazing! Do you like this show and you want to help support us? Do you want extra episodes every month? Do you want ad-free versions of the show? Then you should sign up over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro, and you'll get your very own RSS feed to put into whatever your podcatcher of choice is, and you'll be first in line for all extra content. So head on over and become a Patreon supporter of this very show. Another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
My name is Derek Diamond.
And we have our community spotlight tonight with one of our Discord members who is a part of our lovely community. His name goes by the name Atlas.
Eight.
How are you doing this evening, sir?
A little bit better. I'm not left out now.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to restart the episode because I completely forgot about Community Spotlight tonight. It's just been a weird couple of weeks. Like, we missed last week and we had Pensacon. Derek's been working. It's like, it's hard to kind of keep track of everything lately.
You can say what you're really thinking. I'll take the heat for it. It's all on me.
So what brings you to the Nerd Cave Retro community? What's your role in the Nerd Cave Retro Discord community?
I just love gaming. I like listening to y'all. You guys, I'm more of like the next generation of collectors, and you guys are more old school, where you have like the Nintendo, SNES. And I just like listening about that, see if I can go out in the wild around town and find it.
So what was your first gaming consoles? Like, for me, it was the NES. For Derek, it was the Super Nintendo. But what kind of era did you grow up in?
I started out with a Sega Genesis, just playing Sonic 2 and Street Fighter. And then I like skipped the whole generation and went to PS2.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I'm curious, how did you come up with the name Atlas?
I have no idea. It just kind of, I'm told it's at a guy that holds the globe and everything.
Yeah.
It's a cool name. I dig it.
Took a while to come up with.
So what's kind of your favorite era to go back to? Do you like current gaming, or do you prefer like that era, that PS2 era, or even before that?
That's kind of difficult because I like the old school original Doom, but I also like playing Ratchet and Clank, especially from the one coming out this Friday. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for that one. It's just a mix.
I never got into Ratchet and Clank. I know it was synonymous with the PlayStation back in the day. I didn't even know there was a new one coming out, but that's cool though. That franchise is still pretty relevant.
They need to bring back Jack and Daxter and Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
Jack and Daxter was a lot of fun. It's one that I hope to review in the next few weeks. And I remember when the sequel came out, I was like, wait a minute, this is completely different than the original Jack and Daxter. But it was a cool twist on the franchise.
I actually like 2 better than 1. I felt like it had more to it.
When was the last Jack and Daxter game that came out? What?
Stand by, let me look it up and I'll tell you.
That feels like it's been a while since there was a Jack and Daxter game.
It was on the PS2. It's Jack X Combat Racing.
Yeah, wow.
It's been a while.
Yeah. That was a good franchise. I don't understand why they don't keep that one around.
Who was that, Naughty Dog who made that?
Yeah, it was Naughty Dog that did that.
I think they moved into more Uncharted than anything else.
So the last Jack and Daxter game was actually for the PSP. It was Jack and Daxter, The Lost Frontier, released in 2009.
Huh.
But as far as like consoles, it was Jack X Combat Racing that Atlas mentioned. And that was released in 2005.
Yeah, I think now that Uncharted is over with, Naughty Dog is probably going to go back to some of their other properties. And dude, they've been around for so long. It's weird to look back and see all the stuff that Naughty Dog has actually been a part of, going back to the, you know, the kind of beginnings of the company. So they've got unless they come up with something completely new, they've got a lot to draw from. And we haven't really heard anything from Naughty Dog in a while.
I know, it's kind of sad. They had such a good, and they just left it.
Yeah.
If you guys want to feel old, the first Jack and Daxter game came out 20 years ago this year.
You shut your face.
Yeah, I'm insulting myself too.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's... I had no idea. I thought it was like 2003 when Jack and Daxter came out.
Yeah, but that's still almost 20 years ago.
True. I didn't think it was 20 years ago on the dot.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Came out in North America December 3rd of 2001.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I got, thanks to Axeblade07, who is in the chat room right now and gifted me a birthday present of 3 months of PS Now. And I went on there looking at... some of the PS2 titles they had up on there, and they had Bounty Hunter, Star Wars Bounty Hunter, and I was like, oh, man, nice. I love this game. I'm gonna go back and play this. So I played it for about 20 minutes, and I was so freaking lost, and I just didn't know where to go or what to do. I was like, I don't know if I'm in the mood for this right now, and moved on to Streets of Rage 4, which is what I'll be reviewing tonight.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the last time I played Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, Axeblade brings up that Naughty Dog's been doing The Last of Us the last few years. Yeah, I forgot that they had been doing that.
Soon to be a TV series.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. With Pedro Pascal.
Huh, that's cool.
Yep.
I never played the game, though. I've heard so many mixed things about it. I don't know if it would be the kind of thing I'm into, because it sounds really depressing. like what it is.
It is pretty depressing. I mean, the first one's all right, but then you get the second one and it's kind of downhill.
Yeah, I've heard that there's some stuff in that second game that just like just depresses the hell out of you. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to put myself through that.
Yeah, I haven't played any of the Last of Us games. I've watched some gameplay online. The story looks really interesting. I don't know if it would be a game that I could really get into as far as playing it, but I know a lot of people love it.
Yeah. Before we go into the news tonight, I still haven't gotten to ask you, Derek, how's your last couple weeks been for you? I know you've been busy.
Yeah, I mean, it's about what you would expect. Yeah. I mean, I've got this week off, thankfully. So what's crazy is that the season is already a third of the way over.
That's crazy.
It's gone by quick. Yeah. I will say that. So, I mean, honestly, the whole year's gone by fast. It's about to be halfway over.
I know. I did just realize today that we're already halfway through this year. Like, I'm still trying to get over 2020, and we're already almost over with 2021. Like, what is happening with time? I don't understand.
I don't know. It just seems like things move at such a faster pace. But, I mean, it's about what you would expect. Work, and then just kind of try to relax when I can. Been playing, I started a new playthrough of Super Mario World, which I haven't played in quite some time, so it's been fun to go back and revisit that.
Yeah, I've been diving into some older stuff. Like I said, I played Streets of Rage 4, tried to play a little bit of Bounty Hunter. I actually downloaded Little Nightmares. Have you guys played that yet?
Mm-mm.
The second one just dropped not too long ago, so I was thinking maybe I should just go back and play the first one, and then on PS Now, they had it available for free. So I downloaded it to the PS4, and I've been playing it, and holy crap, it's scary, but it's compelling, and it's like a 2D platform. No, it's like a 3D platformer, kind of like Little Big Planet, stuff like that, but man, it's so atmospheric and creepy, and there's just visuals in that game that just make you pucker, and I'm like, what the hell am I looking at? And I'd give it a recommendation that if you're into weird stuff like that, I would say give it a go. It's a pretty good game. And I think even if you pay for it, like on the Switch, I think it's pretty cheap. Like the first one's like 10, 12 bucks, if that, I think. I'm not sure, but I know it's pretty cheap.
Sweet.
But yeah, I've been playing that, and that's just about it. So do you guys want, we got a lot of news to get to. You guys ready to jump into the news for tonight?
I can't wait to talk about this first story.
Let's do it. So this one got sent to us from I Am the Rampage and Staff Sergeant Sketch on NintendoEnthusiast.com. The Super Mario Brothers movie Extended Cut is released online. Super Mario Brothers movie is one of the most infamous cases of bad video game adaptations. The 1993 film was a flop commercially and critically, but many Nintendo fans can't help but love it anyway. If you enjoy it for the beautiful train wreck that it is, you'll be happy to know there's more of it now than ever. An extended cut has been released online, restoring over 20 minutes worth of deleted scenes. And, I don't know.
Zack Snyder, what have you done?
Yeah.
Ever since the Snyder Cut came out, like this was announced. Sylvester Stallone came out and said he's doing a director's cut of Rocky IV. But Jason, you know what this means though, right?
What?
It means we have to redo our commentary track.
No, I don't think I can. I don't think I have it in me to give 20 more minutes to this movie.
I'm curious about it. Like, I'm legitimately curious about it. Like, this is not a good movie. Like, I'm not saying that it is, but I feel like this article accurately depicted it. It's a train wreck that you can't help but enjoy to an extent. Like, it's so bad that I actually have a little bit of fun watching this movie.
Did we really need 20 more minutes? Do we really need it?
No, I don't think we did at all. But
now, if you come to me and say, hey, we have 20 more minutes of Terminator 2, do you want to see it? Hell yeah! This, no, I don't really want to.
I will, I'll watch it and give a full review of it.
What about you, Atlas? Have you ever seen this movie?
I actually haven't ever seen it before.
You've never seen it?
Wow. No,
I've heard about it, but never seen it.
What would be the best way to set him up?
I would say if you're curious about it, go watch it. I don't know if it's available to stream anywhere. I don't know if I could recommend him actually paying to rent this.
No, I wouldn't recommend that.
I'll
look it up to see if it's available.
Yeah, I would say if it's available, maybe somebody snaked it onto YouTube or something, you could watch it. But it's worth watching if you're curious about it. But it's not good in the least.
After hearing that, I don't think I want to.
It's just...
Yeah, it's not available to stream anywhere, but I agree with you, Jason. I'm sure somebody has the full movie on YouTube somewhere.
I actually sent the DVD, I think, to... was it Brandon Rutledge I sent it to?
Yep.
Maybe you could hit up Brandon on the Discord and see if he'll send you the DVD. Yeah.
Oh man, it's an experience.
You can
watching
say
that movie.
That
again. I will say that.
That's putting it mildly. I think I had a migraine after watching that movie.
But it was one of the most fun commentary tracks we did.
I'll give it that. It was a fun commentary to do, but to actually like watching it with friends makes it good. Making fun of it with you guys, but I could not sit and just watch this by myself. Like, I couldn't get through it. If I was just watching, like, I think I'll watch Super Mario Brothers. Like, that will never happen, ever.
I would say the same, but I also voluntarily watched the Star Wars Holiday Special out of curiosity.
Yeah, dude, I will say the new Holiday Special that's on Disney Plus is fantastic.
I still need to watch it.
It's good. It's really
good. I'll watch it around Christmas time.
A lot of it actually has some laugh out loud moments on it, so I recommend it.
Good. Let's see. Our next story comes to us from PCGamer.com, and this was sent to us from I Am the Rampage.
Rampage.
EA pulls the plug on old Need for Speed games after all. After some confusion and a surprise sale, Need for Speed Shift, Shift 2, and Undercover have all been removed from Steam. The original story says Electronic Arts is delisting a number of older Need for Speed games, which will also have their in-game stores closed and their online services retired. And the decision was made because EA is shifting gears to focus on the future of Need for Speed, and there just aren't enough players to justify supporting them anymore. The games that are being dropped were Need for Speed Carbon, Undercover, Shift, Shift 2, and The Run. And in an update, it says things got a little confusing earlier today when instead of removing Need for Speed Shift, Shift 2, and Undercover, it put all three of them on sale instead as part of a larger EA Racing scale. No explanation for the change was provided, but it seems like a not entirely unreasonable response to backlash against the no-notice removal, a chance for one final spin around the block, so to speak. I never really got into the Need for Speed games. Like, I'm not, except for Mario Kart and a couple of other exceptions, I'm not a big racing fan. But I know the Need for Speed games, they have their fan base.
Yeah.
And the whole story sounds kind of weird to me.
Yeah. I think I played one Need for Speed game back, whichever one was on the original Xbox. Might have been Most Wanted or something like that. And it's weird because you would think that I don't know much about these games. I mean, is it mostly, you might know this, Atlas. Are these mostly like an online experience or is there a campaign element to these?
There is a campaign element to it. I mean, I do play a lot of racing games. I tend to stay away from Need for Speed just because they're really not that great of racing games.
Yeah.
But overall, I
could understand like just taking off the online element, like taking off the store, but just having the game available with just the campaign and charging, $2 or $3 for it on Steam and good old games, I could understand that. But just to kind of completely take them away is kind of weird.
It's like almost the same situation as the PS3 store and the Vita store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to say about it. EA is a weird company. They do what they want. They kind of have the same attitude as Sony does as far as like older games. They're just like, who wants to play this stuff? And then just yank them away. And people are like, what are you doing? There's still people that play this stuff. I don't get it. True. It's a weird stance to take. This next story comes to us from Armez. Actually, next four stories come from Armez Jackson. The first one is from NintendoEverything.com. Metal Unit launches on Switch this month. Metal Unit, a side-scrolling platformer with roguelite features, has been dated for Switch. It'll be arriving on June 17th. Metal Unit tells a tragic story of human survivors and their battle against monsters and machine to regain control of their planet. There's an action-packed battle system. You can dash to evade enemies or go on the offensive and chain multiple weapon attacks together to perform devastating combos. Huge and diverse environments, roguelite elements. Upon death, the game will convert all equipped items into permanent research points. The points can then be used to unlock new items and skills. You will constantly receive weapons of varying utility and will need to adapt your strategy to match your current equipment. The assist mode will allow you to customize your Metal Unit experience to suit your tastes. While players seeking thrilling difficulty will be able to tackle the challenge mode, stacking odds against them as they attempt to reap exciting new rewards. It will cost $15.99 on the Switch eShop. Do you guys like roguelite type games? I really enjoy like Rogue Legacy and what the hell is the name of the game I've been playing the last couple of weeks? I can't think of it. It's on the Switch. I'm just completely brain farted. I don't know what's going on with my brain.
I mean, my personal opinion, I haven't dabbled too much into that genre, so I can't really say too much. I mean, the games look fun. I'll say that from, you know, I watched there's a trailer attached to this article that I watched, and it looks fun.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll play it, but it looks like it has some fun elements to it.
What about you, Atlas? Do you like the roguelike type games?
They're all right for a little while, you know, just little time killers.
Yeah, that's the thing with me. It kind of gets old after a while because you're constantly playing the same thing over and over again. Like, you die, you come back, you know, and upgrade your stuff, go through, die again, get a little further each time. It's a fun concept, but it does kind of tend to get old really fast. Then you got to take breaks.
Yeah. Our next story, as we said, comes from Armez Jackson. He was very generous with the news articles this week. Shout out to Armez Jackson for all the news articles. This comes to us from MyNintendoNews.com. New details for the House of the Dead remake for Nintendo Switch. New details have emerged regarding the upcoming remake of the classic Sega arcade title, House of the Dead. The game is destined for the Nintendo Switch first and then other platforms later, much like what happened with the Panzer Dragoon remake. The details were published on Twitter account The Wiki of the Dead, have been handily condensed by Reddit member TurboStrider27. And there's a lot of details, and I'll just hit kind of the high points. Coming first to Switch, currently testing on 4 different platforms, likely a Steam release. Shooting for 60 frames per second docked, 30 frames per second handheld, and 720p docked and handheld. It has classic mode, original game with updated graphics, a horde mode, which is fast-paced, 15 times the number of enemies, unlockable characters, and other things. Remade voice acting, which it says purposely bad. I was just going to point that out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that kind of makes me want to see this game.
Yeah.
The engine is Unity, like Panzer Dragoon Remake, HD rumble for gun shooting effects. And it says here COVID has not affected production because the team is used to working remotely. And then, let's see, crosshairs are different colors for each player. Blood color can be changed. Unlikely that the game will be at E3, which is crazy that E3 is, like, what, the end of this week?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, the House of the Dead remake improves daily and is claimed to be in a better state today than when Panzer Dragoon remake was launched.
It actually says there's a nostalgic mode as well, with lower poly graphics considered if there's enough demand. Which I don't know why you would want to do that if you have updated graphics. Like, that's the thing that's drawing me to this, is I like House of the Dead. And I may get this for the Switch because I enjoy that game. And if it has updated graphics and, you know, higher frame rate and all that kind of stuff, sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'd be interested in playing it. I've never played the original, but it sounds pretty cool.
Just don't ever watch the movie. That's a steaming pile of crap made by Uwe Boll, who ruins everything he touches.
So what you're saying is I should add it to the list for defending bad movies for next
year. Yes, you should. What about you, Alice? Did you ever get to play House of the Dead back in the day?
In arcade, yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, it's a really fun game. Every time I see it, it's one of those games, like, I still see it in arcades. Now, like, there's a local bowling alley that I think still has it. But whenever I see it, it's one of those games that instantly draws me to it just because I just like playing it for some reason.
So you don't see that much anymore, honestly. Like, all these arcades are gone.
Yeah, we still actually have a couple here where I live. There's one in the bowling alley that's pretty good. There's the Margaritaville casino, not casino, but resort that has a giant arcade in it.
I'm going to move down there.
Yeah.
I wish I had a good arcade near me.
Actually, Armez is in the chat room and he says, one of the games that his wife loved to play, Gamesworks, back in the early 2000s. I went to a Gameworks before. That was a huge arcade I went to up in Seattle that was awesome. I think I still have the card, too, that got me in the door. It was like, pay a certain amount and play all you want. It was great.
I miss arcades.
Yeah, I do, too. This next story, of course, is from Armez Jackson. From NintendoLife.com, want more cool minigame systems? Say hello to the Taito Egret 2 Mini. If you like retro arcades and awesome re-releases, reimaginings, take a seat and a deep breath. Then the video in the article will take you to the launch trailer for the Egret 2 Mini. It is a screen that you can rotate. Like, it looks like, kind of looks like that Capcom machine we talked about a while back. But this one, you can actually rotate the screen from landscape to portrait, which you'll be able to switch the joystick from 8 to 4 direction to match the game you're playing. Be 40 built-in games with another 10 that'll be sold in an expansion pack with a trackball controller. There's also an SD slot in which you'll be able to run other games that you purchase. Now, I never really wanted to pick up any of these little mini arcade-looking deals, but this one actually looks kind of cool. And, like, I don't think it'll be worth the money, but if this thing was $50-$75, I would definitely pick it up. But the pre-orders are roughly 18,678 yen, which come out to 170 US dollars. And that is, yeah, that's a little, if I'm going to pay $170, I'm going to go get like a Switch Lite or something like that.
Yeah, that's a little too expensive for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, it looks cool. And when I opened up this article, it reminded me of the, you know, what you mentioned we had talked about a while back, because it looks almost exactly the same. But the screen rotation is really cool. I like that it comes with a controller as well. It looks cool, don't get me wrong, but I can't pay $170 for this personally.
Yeah. What about you, Atlas? Would you plop down almost $200 for this thing?
The only thing I would get it for is probably Tempest. But hell, I just go buy an arcade system for that.
Yeah, That's another thing. Why haven't they made a Tempest machine from what's the name of the
arcade 1-Up?
Yeah, arcade 1-Up. Why haven't they made a Tempest machine? That's, come on, arcade 1-Up. That's something I would really want to get, because Tempest is one of those games that you cannot duplicate that arcade experience without that, you know, that Twister controller thing.
That trackball was just amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
Which, I mean, you try to run it.
Oh, go ahead.
You try to run it on like emulators, it's just like nowhere near the same.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't work without that trackball. Like, that's I used to play that game at the skating rink when I was a kid, and holy crap, that thing took so many dollars from me, dollars and quarters, like just at least $10 every time I went to the skating rink, I would pump into Tempest. That was such a cool game.
I was the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, Axeblade said, shipping is expensive out of Amazon Japan, so it would be well over $200 with shipping. Like, that's, whoo, man. Yep, Rampage, nope. You might be right. They might have did it with the Centipede machine. I'm going to have to look that up. But I don't know. That seems like they if you're gonna make that trackball thing, you're gonna want to put every game that utilized that onto one machine. Like, that would just make more sense to me.
Yeah,
it might be Armez. He was saying it might be on the Asteroids arcade 1-Up. It's on one of those. It might be. If it is, that might be something I want to look into. I love me some Tempest.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Let's see. Our final news story for this week, of course, comes to us from Armez Jackson, and it is from NintendoLife.com. Berserk Boy is a promising retro-inspired action platformer that's heading to Switch. Retro-inspired action platformers don't normally give themselves an extended promotional run-in to release, but perhaps Berserk Boy can pull it off. Though it's not due until quarter four of 2022 on Switch and various other platforms, it looks particularly good in its initial announcement details. As you can see in the video above, the developer Berserk Boy Games has some fun ideas, as outlined by studio founder Zu Ethsium in the press release. It shoots for the same genre as franchises like Mega Man, Sonic, Pulse Man, and Gunvolt. You can certainly see various influences in some of the game ideas. Some of the features include change into different Berserk forms, where you can merge with the 5 Berserk Force Orbs, Lightning, Fire, Earth, Air, and Ice. No, it does not form Captain Planet, and absorb their unique abilities. Explore New Hope City and beyond, jump, dash, slam, and slide through multiple sprawling stages, find alternate paths and hidden collectibles, and a modern adventure with a retro feel. Slick and stylish platforming action inspired by a love for the genre greats. And the music is by T. Lopez, who composed the Sonic Mania soundtrack, which is one of the best Sonic soundtracks out there. So that alone makes me happy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the trailer for this the other day when I was looking up this article. And it has that Mega Man look to it, like kind of feel to it, but more the 16-bit era. This looks really interesting. I think I might give this a go once it drops on the Switch, because it just it's the type of gameplay that's right up my alley, like that fast paced kind of side scrolling, you know, just going berserk basically.
Yeah, this looks really cool, and we've got a while to wait, but I think it'll be worth it.
Yeah. What do you think, Atlas? Would this be something you'd be interested in?
I'd try just for the music, because I like the music of Sonic Mania.
Yeah. I dig it. I would. I might actually play this and might do a review of it. We'll see.
Yeah. Rampage says the music is the only good thing about Sonic Mania.
Don't.
I respectfully disagree, sir.
You better watch out. Derek might kick you out of the chat room for talk like that.
he's mentioned that before. So, I mean, it's a little gimmicky for a Sonic game, but I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's no Sonic 2, but then again, what is?
There was something going on about Sonic 3 lately. Some talk, yeah, and chatter about Sonic 3.
So they had the Sonic 30th anniversary. I don't know. It was almost like a Nintendo Direct, because this happened last week, and they announced a new Sonic game, which is coming out in 2022, which the rumor is it's going to be open world, which I think would be very interesting for that type of gameplay. There's also going to be Sonic Origins, which is a collection of all the classic Sonic games, including Sonic 3 and Knuckles, the combined game, which I don't know if that's been available to any like next gen platforming, like even going back to like the GameCube or the Wii.
Yeah.
And that's coming out in 2022 as well. It's called Sonic Origins.
Yeah. Axeblade brought up, I don't know if you saw this today, they're putting out an arcade one up Simpsons arcade game.
Yes.
And I got excited till I saw the price tag.
Yeah, I can't pay $600 for that.
That's a lot of money. I mean, you can almost go find an old full size cabinet for that.
I wish they would just put that game on like the current gen systems, because the Simpsons arcade, like, don't get me wrong, Ninja Turtles is still my favorite of that style of game, but the Simpsons one is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I had so much fun playing the Simpsons.
I don't know why they never released that on any kind of home console. Must have been weird with the rights or something with that. That seems like that would have just done gangbusters. Imagine if they would have released that for, you know, the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis at the time. Like, I would have bought it.
Makes you wonder how much Arcade 1-Up paid for the rights.
I know. It's the Simpsons, which is now Disney, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How weird is that to say?
I know. Like, Maggie's a Disney princess.
Oh, man.
Before we move into the review for tonight, Derek has shout-outs.
Yes, as always, I'd like to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out Armez Jackson, Axeblade07, Daniel Salmon, John Jekyll, a.k.a. Mixmaster, Carlos Longoria, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Randy Bailey, Tyler Watson, Brandon Rutledge, Donner Party of Five, Gus and Penny, Jason May, Matthew Salmon, and Justin Olson. Thank you guys so much for your continued contributions to the show, keeping the lights on for us. And because you have kept us at the $50 level, we will continue to do fun commentary tracks. Not entirely sure what we're going to do for this month, but sure it'll be something fun. So if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, just head on over to patreon.com/NerdCaveRetro.
Yeah, I was thinking me, you, and Wally should discuss different movies that we should do a commentary for, and then put up a Patreon poll that everybody can vote on.
We should each pick one.
Yeah.
And then we put it up to vote.
I'm okay with that.
I won't put up Mortal Kombat Annihilation, because Axeblade said he would leave the Patreon if that happened. So
I can pretty much say, since it's Ghostbusters month, Wally will probably pick Ghostbusters.
I'd be okay with
that. I'm okay.
It's about as close to a perfect movie as you can get.
Yeah, that, Back to the Future, you know, anything like that. Perfect movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
But tonight I'm going to be talking about... I can't hear it. Why is it not playing? Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Why is my thing not playing? Here we go. There we go. Rage 4 is a beat-em-up game developed by Dotemu, Lizard Cube, and Guard Crush Games. It is a continuation of Sega's Streets of Rage series, you don't say, and was released in 2020 for Windows, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Mac OS, and Linux. It received generally positive reviews from critics and has sold over 1.5 million copies. The carrying on the style of gameplay from previous entries in the Streets of Rage series from the early 90s. It is a side-scrolling beat-em-up from which up to four players locally or two players online fight against waves of enemies aided by disposable weapons and item pickups. And I just did Streets of Rage 2, like a couple months ago? Because it was Yeah, it was on the Genesis Mini. And I really enjoy the Streets of Rage, the early Streets of Rage games, because, you know, I was a huge Final Fight. I still love Final Fight. It's one of my favorite games, not only in the arcade, but for the Super Nintendo as well, even though there was a lot yanked out of that game to be on the Super Nintendo. But I still enjoyed it. Still a great game. And Streets of Rage was Sega's answer for Final Fight. It's got kind of the same, you know, back then you look at it, those characters, the sprite based characters, they kind of the same, they kind of had the same style move, so you could go from switch between those two games pretty easily, and it's pretty much the same kind of thing where, you know, somebody's daughter or girlfriend gets kidnapped or you know, gangs are running through the city and you have to stop them. Like, it's the trope of the, you know, the 2D side scroll, the 90s 2D side scrollers. This is in that same vein. Of course, the graphics are way better now. It's got a very cartoonish look to it, almost like a an anime style to the characters. One of the characters, I can't remember his name. Let's see, what are the characters' names? Let me try to find that here. The story is 10 years after the events of Streets of Rage 3, which I'm going to get to one of these days, the criminal mastermind Mr. X was defeated, Widow City falls under the control of a new crime syndicate led by Mr. X's children, the Y twins, who plan to brainwash its citizens with hypnotic music. Blaze Fielding, who has been there since the beginning, he's the blonde guy, calls in some old favors to take the twins down. Joining Blaze are her old friends. Blaze is the girl. That's right. Yeah, Blaze is the girl. Axel Stone is the guy, the blonde guy. And Adam Hunter. Adam's daughter, Cherry Hunter, and Floyd Araya. I don't even know how to say it. A cybernetically enhanced apprentice of Dr. Zan. And Floyd is my favorite character to use in the game because he's humongous and he has arms like Jax from Mortal Kombat. He's got metal arms and he's like, he just destroys everyone. And he was my favorite character to use throughout the whole game. And that's basically just it. You go through, you know, level to level. You're going through the city, each, you know, fighting off, mini bosses. And then you finally get down to the final encounters. And you got to fight the X twins. You got to fight them one at a time, which is hard enough. And then you get to the very end of the game where you have to fight them both at the same time, which is kind of crazy and hard to do when you're just playing it by yourself. I would have loved to play this four player locally, and I would like to play this with somebody two player online because it would be so fun. But my only complaint with the game is it's really fun, but I think I beat it in like an hour and a half. It didn't take long at all.
Yeah, it seems like a really short type of game, but you touched on what really stood out to me when you're watching a little bit of gameplay and looking at some photos of it. I love the look of this game. It looks like a comic book brought to life. Like, I love the bright colorfulness of the game. It just, like, it makes you want to play it just based on the look alone, because it's like you're watching a modern type of cartoon.
Yeah.
On, you know, like, whether it's like Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network or something like that. I love the look. I love the backgrounds look great. There was one screen cap I remember looking at where you're fighting in what looks like an area where you'd be waiting for the subway. And there's graffiti in the background and everything, and some of it's even like really small, and you have to really pay attention to it to see what it says.
Yeah.
But I just love that the detail that goes into these types of games specifically is really impressive to me. And that was what really stood out to me when looking up this game.
And that's another thing about playing these type of games, because I really like to look at the backgrounds and really appreciate the artwork that goes into these type of games, because I think that's the reason why these types of games like Final Fight and Streets of Rage and, you know, the Street Fighter, I think that's why that era of those type of games have lasted for so long as they have, especially even with this game, is because of the stylized graphics of, you know, the sprite, the characters, not only the characters themselves, but the amount of detail that goes into the backgrounds of these type of games. And I think that's what helps these games kind of have the longevity that they have.
Yeah, you look at games, and we've touched on this before, but you look at games that were made in, say, like the mid to late 2000s that are supposed to look realistic.
Yeah, they don't hold up.
But the graphics don't hold up, but you look at games that are animated. Mm-hmm. There's so many different animation styles that they all become timeless in a way. Like, you might be able to tell when a game was made, but the look of it will hold up more so over something that was supposed to look realistic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at games like World of Warcraft. I mean, why do you think that game has stuck around for almost, it's what, 17 years now? Like, the beta came out in 2004. It launched in, what, 2005, 2006? It's still going, even though they've updated the graphics over the years, but they made the choice to make that game stylized. The graphics, the character designs, everything has that kind of cartoonish look to it. And when you do that, I mean, you look at the Zelda series, the Zelda games that have held up so well over the years are the ones that tried not to be realistic. You know, the ones that are stylized are the ones that have held up the longest.
There's a reason why most of the Zelda games since Wind Waker have a certain type of animation to them. Because you look at Twilight Princess, no one really talks about it all that much.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think, Atlas? Have you did you get to play Streets of Rage 4 or any of the Streets of Rage games?
I think the closest thing would be like Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah.
With the style and everything.
Yeah.
That's another great example, too.
I haven't played Scott Pilgrim, but I've watched gameplay of it, and I'm glad they brought it back to be able to be purchased, because I think that game deserves to be, you know, available, because it looks great, and I'd love to play it. I'm not a big fan of the movie, but I would love to go back and play the game itself.
There was a movie?
Yeah, there was.
It had a pretty good cast, too.
Yeah, it's got a great cast.
Chris Evans was in it.
Yeah. Brandon Routh was in it.
Yep.
There's a lot of
Michael
people.
Michael Cera was.
Yeah, Michael Cera. It had the pedigree to be a good movie. I think people are giving it a second chance now. There's been a lot of chatter about that movie lately online and on podcasts, so I think people are giving it a second look. But I remember when I watched it, I found it to be kind of boring and slow. But that's just me.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. Like, it's not my favorite movie, but it's not bad.
Yeah. Let's see. I was trying to see if there what were some of the reviews for this game. Streets of Rage 4 generally got positive reviews on Metacritic. Destructoid gave it a 9 out of 10. Eurogamer gave it Essential. Game Informer gave it 7 out of 10. GameSpot, 8 out of 10. IGN, 7 out of 10. So it got some pretty good reviews. Leo Fairman of the Sunday Morning Herald wrote that the visuals, sounds, and mechanics aren't as envelope-pushing in 2020 as the originals were in the early 90s, but the balance between embracing nostalgia and reformulating the brawler for the current decade is struck wonderfully. I think that's really what captured me about it, is it still got the spirit of those early, you know, early 90s beat-em-ups, but it's got that quickness and the like the music to this game. Holy crap, the music's so good for this game. Who did the soundtrack? It was primarily composed by Olivier Duriviere. I think that's how you pronounce his name. With additional compositions from Yuzo Koshiro, Motohiro Kawashima, Yoko Shimomura, Kaiji Yamaguchi, and Harumi Fujita. Das Mortal and Ground of Slava. I guess those are bands. I don't know. I never heard of those. The music, I could just sit and listen to the music of this game. It's got that, like, I don't know. It's got a modern sound, but it's got that 90s sort of techno vibe to it. But it's also got some, like, smooth techno to it. It's weird. Just go on YouTube and listen to some of the music for this game and you'll get what I'm talking about. It's kind of got that 90s vibe to it, but it's very modern. It's weird. And I really, really like the music for this game, but it's just sort of the perfect mixture of, you know, like it said, like the nostalgia of the original games, but it's just got that cool look to it and the music. And it's one of those games where the hit detection and the physics of the game just feel good to play. You know, like when you connect punches and you do your super moves and all that kind of stuff, it feels so satisfying. Like it's just something you can't really duplicate. It's you either have it or you don't.
I'd be interested in checking it out because it looks like a lot of fun. And I've never played any of the Streets of Rage games, but it looks fun.
Yeah. That's right. I love these kind of 2D beat 'em ups like this. But like I said, it's a very, very short game. I think it was less than 2 hours and I beat it. So go into it knowing that, keeping that in mind, like even if you're playing it just one player, you're going to beat it pretty quick. But I could definitely see this as one of those games that you could play over and over again, especially if you have somebody that you can play with online, or, you know, like couch co-op 4-player would be really fun to see all 4 of those characters on screen at the same time playing. So, you know, it's got a great pedigree behind it. I think they put a lot of thought and care. You could definitely tell that, you know, when they were making this game, that they really care about the Streets of Rage legacy. And I think they just made a great Streets of Rage game for the current era. And it sold a lot of copies. So if you've never played any of the Streets of Rage games, I would definitely say, you know, start with this one and then work your way backwards. Go get a Sega Genesis Mini, or, you know, I think they might even have Streets of Rage on arcade classics on the Nintendo Switch or something like that. You might be able to get Streets of Rage on the Nintendo Switch. I'm not sure. But even if you can't, Genesis Minis go for pretty cheap these days, you know, 50, 60 bucks. All that stuff's on there. Streets of Rage 2. I recommend it. It's really short. That's my only gripe with it, is I expected to have, you know, be able to play it for a little while, maybe an hour or two, save, come back and play it again the next day. But I just wiped through the whole thing in one sitting. And I was like, well, that's that. But I really enjoyed it. So out of 10, I would give it a solid 8 out of 10.
I dig that. I dig that score a lot, actually.
Yeah, and if you have a PS4, PS5, Axeblade said that's the great thing about PS Now. You just go get your 3 or 6 months or whatever, or hell, even just a month of PS Now, and you got all these games you can play, and it's available on there right now for free. I mean, not free, you have to pay for the PS Now, but you can go play that in an afternoon. You can go get Little Nightmares, play that, and so many other things you can play. So that's another option that you could go for to be able to get Streets of Rage 4.
Nice.
So what about you, Atlas? Do you have anything to add to the Streets of Rage 4 score? Or did you say you played it or you hadn't played it?
I haven't played it, but it's another review where I just want to go get me Genesis Mini now.
Yeah. That's actually, I can't believe you haven't gotten one, because the Genesis Mini is totally worth the money. Like, that, of all the minis, I think the Genesis Mini was probably the most bang for your buck.
Agreed.
I definitely got to get one.
100%.
Yeah, and it looks so cool, too, sitting on the shelf. I look at it every day, and I'm like, it's so cool. That I love the Super Nintendo. I love the regular Nintendo, the NES. But, man, when it came to console design, that Genesis just looks the best. Like, it just looks so... Even today, I have the Genesis Mini, and I have a regular-sized Genesis sitting on the shelf downstairs under the TV, and they just look so cool. It's like one of the coolest designs ever.
Just makes you smile.
Yeah. but that's pretty much the end of the episode. Atlas, thank you for joining us, man. I'm so sorry that we just brain farted at the beginning. We started the episode and I was like, oh, we forgot. And we had to call you real quick and get you on the show, man. It was great having you here.
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah, for sure.
And thank you for being a part of the Discord community as well. Like having you over there. If you want to be like Atlas and you want to become a part of our Discord community, head over to our Twitter account at NerdCaveRetro, and right there at the very top, you click that link and it'll take you right to the Discord community. Because if you want to go to a community where we like to talk about gaming all day long, we trade memes, we share cool videos, and we don't talk politics, and we don't, anybody comes in being a dick, we kick them out. So if you want to come in and be a part of a cool community, go join our Discord server. We'd love to have you over there. And Atlas, again, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight, man.
Well, thank you guys too.
Where can everybody find you on the interwebs?
Nowhere, pretty much.
You don't do like Twitter?
Well, I do. I don't even know what my Twitter handle is.
If you want to talk to Atlas, go to our Discord server, and that's where he's most active over there. I think that's where most of us are most active, is over there on the Discord server. So, Derek, what about you? Well, you're not going to be here next week, which the official fact checker, Mr. Wally Phelps, will be here next week to take your place. So everybody be prepared for that. And can't wait to have Wally here so he can make fun of me for probably messing up a lot of stuff tonight. Oh, well.
Or he'll just find something
to
grill you about. As Wally does.
Oh, I think you are.
Yeah, it should be a good show next week. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it should be a good show next week because we'll have the E3 news to talk about and everything. So look forward to listening to it just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But I actually, for this week's Derek Diamond Experience, I've got a really cool show lined up. So for those of you who are fans of hip-hop in the 90s, I chat with DC Glenn, who is one half of Tag Team. If you don't know who Tag Team is, they came up with the song Whoop, There It Is. He recently got into acting and actually has a really cool story to tell how his career changed forever due to COVID.
Really?
So it's a really fun show. Hopefully everyone checks it out. Those who are listening live, it'll be online tomorrow, if you're listening on the download, it's out now.
Did you ask him about the commercial?
And if you want to,
that they're on.
Oh, we talk in depth about that commercial.
Fantastic.
So it's good stuff. And if you want to follow the show on social media, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at D Diamond Podcast.
Awesome. And Bubby has decided to join us for the end of the show. Say hi, kitty. If they can even see his eyes there. He's so dark, you can't even see him. You got to get you some sun, kitty, and lighten up your fur a little bit, your bobtail. He's all good. Did you see my Hulkamania picture of him the other day? He was not happy when I put the Hulkamania bandana
it was
on.
Pretty great.
He was not happy. But yeah, that's going to bring us to the end of the show here. Let me... before we go, go check out Open Micers Podcast. Where last week we talked with Renee Phoenix from what was the name of her record label? Hold on. Renee, let me go to Twitter. And let me pull up the Open Micers real quick. Sorry. Should have had this pulled up already. There we go. Open Micers. Yes, we talked with Renee Phoenix of Freak Machine Records. She was a front woman for Fit for Rivals, who was a pretty big band back in the late aughts. And she's doing some touring of her own now and with her own band. If you go to freakmachinerecords.com, you can check out her new music video that she's got up on there right now for a song called Swallow, which is freaking awesome. She's headlining the Anxiety Fest Mississippi at Belux on, I think July 7th it is, I'm pretty sure. But go check that out at Open Micers on Twitter, Open Micers Podcast on Facebook, and go listen to that episode. She was awesome to talk to. So if you like music, you like metal, go check her out on Open Micers. So I'm ready to get out of here. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Awesome. If you would like to email us, you can email us at... why is my music not playing? What is going on with my soundboard tonight? I got to do some fixing of things on the computer here. There it is. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We're at facebook.com/nerdcaveretro, on Instagram and Twitter at nerdcaveretro, and of course individually at jfunktastic and at Derek_diamond. Go get you some merch. We got t-shirts, stickers, bags, pillows, anything you want over at ncrmerch.com. Go get whatever you need over there. Also, Patreon, go support us over there. Patreon.com/NerdCaveRetro. That keeps the lights on here at the show, pays our server costs, and you give us about $50 every month. We will do those extra commentary episodes every single month. And if you can't do that, leave us a review wherever fine podcasts are given away for free. So, Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
Wow.
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
You blow it!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.